Welcome back to HCG Diet Interviews with Everyday People. I have with me today Jeff and Cassandra. They are a couple who both have done HCG and also gone through the P3 to Life program, which if you don't know what that is, it is a stabilization program to follow phase two of HCG that I created and that they've gone through. I created it because there was so little guidance for that phase, as many of you ladies probably know, and men, if you've done it, it was so hard trying to guess and figure out what to do. So that's why I created it, and they're going to share their experience with that today. So welcome, Jeff and Cassandra.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. So I guess let's just start with your basic stats, just so people kind of have that frame of reference. If you could both share, like, you know, your height, your starting weight and ending weight. If you don't have your notes, I have the notes.
We have.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so that sort of stuff. Can you just share that? Whoever wants to start first.
Sure. You want to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. So this is what's called an in-body. So like you get on, it's a really fancy scale. We have it at our kickboxing gym. So it like does like water weight, muscle, fat, like how much you actually have of each. So just to give a little background, on January 18th, I weighed 155.3. When we preloaded, whatever that, you know, the preloading weekend, yes, that was March 13th, I weighed 151.9. Okay. Okay. When we transitioned to P3, I think our lowest injection weight, mine was like 137.2. Okay. Once we started P3, I was down to 134.9. My last measurement was taking on Memorial Day. So what, 2 weeks ago? It was 131.9. So that's exactly 20 pounds.
Wow.
Also impressive too, which I thought even maybe more than the weight, was my body fat percentage was 28.7%. On Memorial Day, it was 17.3. So it's 11.5%.
Wow. Wait, say that one more time. I have it here. 28%. Yeah. 17%.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's such a big deal. That's a good, you said 11% body fat loss. And I just want to mention for the ladies out there who aren't as familiar with body fat percent, because it can kind of sound like, you know, like when you get 10% off of something, you think, oh, well, that's not a huge deal, but we aren't 100% fat. So our body is, of course, a lot of muscle and a lot of, you know, bone and all that. So, you know, as far as that goes, fat range is going to be anywhere in general up to like maybe 30-40% in general, you know, like when you get more overweight. So you can see that. If you're 30%, if you consider the 30% as almost like the 100 in a sense, that losing 11%, like 11% from 30 down to, or for your case, 28 to 17, that's a huge amount of the fat that is on her body. I don't know if I explained that well, but just because, you know what I mean? Those percentages can sound like that's actually huge. I think that's amazing results.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, and you know, when women talk about toning, right, they want to tone, they want more lean muscle mass. Well, you have to decrease body fat as you increase your lean muscle. That's how you're actually going to see that. You can build all the muscle you want, but if it's still covered up in fat, which is how I was, because we were athletes and stuff. I had all this muscle under there, but it was all covered up. That's what I would always say. I'm like, I'm covered up by a couple layers of fat. So I had to take the fat off so you could actually see the muscle again.
Yes, the muscle was there the whole time, huh? Yeah. So that is amazing. And I love pointing out, I love that you did the body fat testing because, you know, as you guys are probably aware, the HCG diet gets so much flack for being extreme. And it's definitely like, you know, it's pretty hardcore, but people often will say that you lose a lot of muscle on the diet because it's 500 calories. And but when you take the HCG, there's really something. I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
Cassandra. No, I interrupted you. You keep going. No.
Well, I just wanted to point that out, that when we get these sorts of results, and I did the same thing, the body fat testing, and it really does prove that a large percentage of the weight loss is fat and not a bunch of muscle, you know, and that's huge. So, and we're not like anomalies. We're not like some rare specimen in the world of the diet where it only happened for us. So definitely that's kind of the general thing. It's just that not a lot of people are actually tracking their body fat percent. So it's often hard to get those stats.
Absolutely. Well, and on here, because we took a bunch of measurements in between, I started on the loading weekend. It said that I was at my skeletal muscle mass was at 60.4. So 60.4 pounds of muscle. I ended on Memorial Day with 60.8. So I actually went up 0.4 in muscle. So I didn't, in the middle, it did drop down a little bit to 59, yeah. 58. But by the end, once you start working out again, it immediately perked back up. So.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. And I'm not exactly sure how yours does it, but I know with like hydrostatic body fat testing anyway, that our water levels are actually included in our muscle mass. So it's like even being dehydrated can make it seem as if you lost muscle, but you didn't, you know? So that's kind of another little interesting point too, but that's so fantastic. That's wonderful.
I mean,
really good results.
Back in, I don't know, the beginning of the year that I'd lose 20 pounds in 3 months and be able to maintain it. I mean, you talk about a little window. I was like, cause I went from like stem to stern on your website, bought your cookbook for P2, which is a freaking lifesaver. So if you guys are going to buy the cookbook, it really is helpful, you know, and we really dedicated this time. We're like, okay, you got 3 weeks for P2, you got to transition and then just follow Ray Zell through the thing. And what's the worst that can happen? Oh, wait, you need to lose 11% body fat. I mean, we have been floored and now we've gone to weddings, we've had wine, you know, we've done all this stuff since. And I mean, we have a 2 pound window. I can't believe it.
That's awesome.
It's like floors me every day. I'm like, you're kidding. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. So I
Jeff's
started.
Turn. Me and Cassandra are going to just go on here. No.
Well, that's okay.
No, you go ahead, Jeff. It's Jeff's turn.
I'll let her give mine. That's fine too. I started at 220.8 and then what was our injection?
You mean when we ended?
Yes.
Your lowest injection weight would have been 198.2.
Was that or was it 202?
Oh, maybe it was 202.
No, my lowest injection weight was 202.
So that's 18 pounds.
So it's about 18 pounds. And then from the lowest injection weight to when we started doing the P3, my last one, which was June 2nd, was 194.9. My body fat started at 20.0 and on June 2nd, it was 9.3.
Oh my goodness. So 20% body fat to 9%?
Yeah, single digits. I mean, that's...
Yeah, we're just a little jealous. That's okay.
not a chip, you know?
Yeah.
And then my skeletal muscle mass started out was 101.9. Then on my last measurement, it was 101.9.
Awesome. That is, and you guys did injections, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I only like to point that out just because I'm not quite as sure about how homeopathic HCG, if it preserves muscle, you know what I mean? In the same way as injections. I'm not making a blanket statement, you guys, but most of the people who do the testing, it's with the real hormone. And hormones are, you know, they're just, they're hormones. I don't know like homeopathic hormones. So I'm more leery of that. So I do want to just point that out. Like if you really want to be sure of your results, I personally tend to really recommend the actual hormone with the injections.
Yeah. And we go to an MD and we did all that and he does all of our blood work, does all those things. The other thing that, and I don't have the pictures, but the other thing, which was exciting for me, not as young as springtime anymore, my blood pressure went from,
he had some really high
levels. We've had a few different stressors over the last couple of years, plus being 20 pounds overweight or so. One was like 159 over.
You had a 170 over like 100 one day.
No, the 100 was the low number was 100. It was like 117.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it was.
Not enough, quite stroking out, but
yeah,
like,
enough to where my doctor was like, you either need to handle this or not. And now they've been anywhere from like a high one is like 128 over 84, 85. And oftentimes like in the high teens and high 70s or low 80s on the blood pressure. So now they're like just normal blood pressure levels, which
that's great.
I guess it's a sign of maturity because I got more excited about my blood pressure than my scale. So
no, that is really good. It's nice to get to that point where like health markers actually are motivating, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, and then other thing, which is funny, we did an updated life insurance. We had to get a bunch of testing.
We got like the premium rates.
Like for the first time, because I've always had a tendency towards high blood pressure, high cholesterol, no matter what level of physical condition I was in. And then this one was like the super preferred best rate that you can get. So I was fighting too.
Oh, that's so great. That's even a plug. Like, you know, if you spend the money to do the HCG program, then you're going to save money on your life insurance.
And no medication. And
You know, it's actually saved a lot. It's pretty crazy. So.
Yeah, that is awesome. Wow, what great results. That is so awesome that you guys did the body fat testing. Both of you lost so much of your weight loss. Yeah, just like all fat. That is so great.
I think the neat thing was P2, and this is the way the medical doctor described it too, it's a nice jump start. I think if you're going to look at HCG, you should look at it and go, it's awesome to lose 15, 20 pounds in 3 weeks. I mean, how motivating is that? But then it's nice to have, say, your program to wean you off of it and then to give you a nice structural base to keep going. Because, I mean, what else are you going to do once you get done with 500 calories? It's terrifying to go from 500 calories to then have to eat like a normal person again.
Right. And yeah, it is. It's so scary just because usually before we started P2, we were like in a state where we had been gaining and maybe not eating, right? And so we don't really know what maintenance looks like. We only know what gaining weight and losing weight looks like. It's like we don't know what, you know? So so moving into that maybe then with P3 to Life, what were your biggest concerns when you were thinking about going into P3?
Well, I thought, how in the heck are we going? Well, first of all, it gets addicting to see that scale drop so much. So I figured at some point, when is this going to plateau? But then how are we really going to maintain this? And I'm sure that's everybody's biggest fear.
See, I had done, this is, I think, my fourth time doing HCG over the last
5 years,
maybe a little longer, maybe 7 years. And, you know, I always got great results and then always kept it off for a few weeks. And then gradually it just sort of ticked back up. And next thing you know, I'm back in, you know, getting another fix to go back down. And this is by far what was the most structured, simplest, most guided process to maintenance that I've ever had. To where I was like, we get a scale, I'm like, wow, look at that. No kidding.
Every day.
Yeah, like pleasantly surprised. Yeah. And then and it's funny because you're like, when we first started doing it, she's like, we knew our windows, and she'd get on the scale and she'd be like, okay, am I in my window? And I'd be like, yeah, it's good. And then she'd open her eyes and look.
Like, I wouldn't look for a while.
She wouldn't look until.
And I mean, some backstory too. I also have a history of eating disorders. And so this was never like a right, you know, to weigh yourself every day, 500 calories. I mean, this is like,
that's scary, right?
And see what people say. And I tried it once with him a few years ago and it ended miserably. And actually after that round of HCG that I tried and attempted, that's actually when I started putting weight back on. It just like messed up my whole mental frame. And that's when like the 20 pounds started to come on after that one. So I did a lot of, I would say, mental prep work, and I was actually ready to bail on the, I know I shouldn't say this, but I was actually ready to bail if I felt like my mental state was
done. Yeah, no, that's smart. I was going to ask you that. Yeah, how did you turn it around and make it good this time with that history?
You know, I don't know what it was. I had done a lot of like body love kind of stuff that no matter what happens, you can love yourself at a new thing. And, you know, I went through all this, but I didn't feel good anymore. Like I knew that I could feel better, more like an athlete. So I just, there was a part of me that was ready. He was doing it with me. There was no pressure to finish. And every day we kept going. I'm like, yeah, I'll do another day. Sure, I'll do another day. Cool. And I think your recipes helped. Those after dinner smoothies really helped.
The meats,
yes, those were really good. I think
we're like, look how colorful.
Oh yeah, we would like take pictures of our food. People are like, what are you eating? I'm like, well, you wouldn't want to know. And I do think having the appropriate injection amount helped too. I was not nearly as hungry this time.
Oh, that's good to know.
I think all of that really, really made a big difference. What do you think?
Yeah, I think just being really mentally prepared, and again, it may not be what everybody would like here, but lower expectations. Like, hey, if I get to here, cool. Then I'm good.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to ride out, and then you can finish and do whatever you did. And it just.
And we allotted the time for it. You know, we didn't have any trips coming up. There was no weddings, no birthdays. So there was none of that kind of social pressure. We had to do a lot of work for our businesses. So there wasn't, we had nothing else to do, if that makes sense. Like go to work, do your 500 calories. I think if people
Didn't work out.
And we didn't work out. We really did that.
Like, that was the first time ever that we didn't work out when we tried to. Always before.
Gotcha. Especially, you know, with you guys being kind of athletes, it's hard, don't you think, to stop?
Oh, yeah.
It was so counterintuitive.
Because the first week or 10 days was actually kind of cool. It's like, look how much time we have. Look how much this.
Look at how much we're sleeping. We do a whoop, and it's like, wow, your rest is so good. You're so recovered. I'm like, I know. We just sit around and, you know, not doing anything all day long. Yeah.
And so I think that was probably the other thing, because we did what you said. We did what the doctor said. We did what we're supposed to.
Yeah.
We said, okay, we're not going to work out. And then even going back, when we finished, we were very careful how we went back to working out. So
yeah, we did very slowly. I read your article on the glycogen and all that stuff, which is very true. Even if you do a hard workout later, even after.
Yeah.
We did the Murph workout for CrossFit.
Man. Yeah. That was
After
that.
It's 100 of everything, right? I forget. It's been a while since I've done it, but.
100, 200, 300. Four more best. Yeah. And I mean, really, until the muscle soreness went away, that scale was up higher. And I tried
still in your window though.
Yeah. But I've tried to look at this more as an experiment. Like, wow, look at what the human body can really do. Like, this is amazing. Like, it truly recovered. And our blood work was really good. And our blood pressure. So we tried to look at other things too, not just the vanity and the weight, even though we really liked that too.
Yeah.
So don't hear what I'm saying.
And I think we nerded out over different things, because you were like all about this, and then you would show me the book, and you're like, "Hey, we're gonna cook this, or can you cook this?" And so, and for whatever reason, I've always been a scale nerd. So like, I'd get on before I go to bed, and she's like, "What are you doing it for?" I said, "I'm just curious."
Yeah.
And because I wanted to see how much, what the variance was.
Right.
Well, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Was it different than if I weighed at 6 o'clock? And all those crazy things, but it was helpful, because there were times like we would get it like. Because sometimes we'd have to get up at like 3:30 in order to go get our workout in or do whatever. This is after, like during the P3 part, I guess.
Sure.
And we get on the scale and it'd be a little bit heavier than we thought it should be. I'm like, yeah, but it's 3:30 in the morning.
Yep.
If it was 5 o'clock, it would be different. And I don't think you believe me at first, but then.
Yep.
And it was, so we just, I don't know, it was, I think, yeah, we just treated the whole thing kind of like a science experiment.
Yeah. And your recipes were really good. So we'd always have those out, and we would double batch even those. So that's what we'd have for dinner. And then we'd already have in the fridge for lunch. Cool. So, and we really tried to make sure we didn't get too hungry at any given time. Yeah. At nighttime, when we'd have our after dinner smoothies, we'd actually watch one of your interviews just for like moral support like and boosting.
Good mindset type stuff. So
yeah, and anytime, like, neither of us lost our minds at the same time, so if one was faltering a little bit, the other one,
that's good. That's always good in a marriage. It's always bad when, like, you know, thankfully this doesn't happen to my husband and I often, but yeah, it's when you're both at a low point at the same time, that's when things get ugly. As long as you trade off, you can kind of support each other.
And it was nice to eat different foods, make different stuff. I mean, all of that was really good. And I really enjoyed your one interview. I cannot remember the lady's name, but she had talked about doing low-carb dieting for a long time and how she did HCG to actually heal everything. And then she was able to eat carbs again.
Yes. Was she a redhead?
I'm not kidding you. We watched a lot of it.
Anyway, I think I know who you're talking about, but yeah, cause she was saying how she, one of them, I think might've had a couple like that, but yeah, just that it is true. Like, you can kind of almost train your body not to be able to eat a certain macronutrient, which is, you know, you might think like, oh, I just can't have this, but it's almost like we can cause it over time by how we eat, but we can sometimes actually heal our bodies so that we can have, especially when you exercise as much as you guys do, like, carbs are important. You know, I eat quite a bit of carbs these days.
Well, and that's what we've been doing now too, because we even added some to your, like, once we got in the later weeks of P3, just to experiment. So, I mean, we're at least 40% of carbs every day, which previously in the years, we've always been ketogenic, low carb. This is the highest we've ever eaten consciously with carbs, and it's been awesome.
That's so good.
But I will say, even with your P, like with P3, we followed all the meals. We would just batch cook. We did a lot on, you know, on Sundays, make sure we were ready for the week. I mean, all your recipes were good. I think the spaghetti, no, spaghetti squash and meatballs is probably one of our favorites.
Awesome.
Well, and I think it, like for me, it expanded my palate on some things like I would normally never eat.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a picky eater in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But like, I've never been a big cabbage person. But then we did it again. I'm like, oh, that was really good.
Yeah.
So
good.
And so, yeah, so I think it expanded our palate a little bit and just our experimentation with cooking. And
it was also really colorful.
Kind of a nice bonding thing for us because we cook together and do all the different stuff. So
now, what made you feel more open to trying some of these foods that maybe you didn't think you cared for too much or that, you know, like why did you feel more open to going ahead and trying it versus being like, no, I don't like that. I'm not going to make it.
Honestly, I'm pretty good at, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. So I'm not going to halfway do it, or I'm going to just trust the process. The only exception is I don't do fish.
Yeah.
So I would have fish and you would make chicken or something.
That's an easy sub. Yeah.
I've tried it so many different ways and no way did it ever turn out good for me. I just don't care for it. But I think we just decided to follow the plan. Cool. And just like, okay, this is the plan. Yeah. And if I don't like it or if I can't, then I won't do it twice. But we just decided we're just going to, I don't know. We talked about it. We don't want to have to do it again.
Yeah. That was a big motivating factor.
It's like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go back up to 220 pounds and go, oh man, here I am, I'm fat again. And then go all the way back. I just, I don't want to do it again. I just,
right.
So that
figured
was,
bite the bullet and do it. And I mean, to say that HCG is easy, that would be a lie. I mean, you have to be mentally prepared.
Yes.
You know? It's simple.
It is simple. Yes.
But not easy.
That's true.
But not easy. Yeah.
No. And your stuff does make it like, I got them all out. Like I print them all
out. Oh, nice.
And then whatever our week was, I would just keep flipping for every day. And I have like a little book holder in the kitchen that I would put it on. And I'm like, that's what we get. And I would just Instacart and it would come and we'd just keep moving along.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So you guys, so there's basically, I have on the site two versions of every week's meal plan and recipes, which is a printable version and a device version. Yeah. So that, cause I agree. I think sometimes it's nice to print stuff out. So that one's like more of a black and white, right? So I don't use up like $1 million of your ink, but but then also it's nice having the device version, even just for browsing through, if you just want to be inspired with all the colors from the images and all that. So I'm curious. So just because I do get this complaint about the program, which I realize that there is a fair amount of cooking. Like I'm just going to be honest, like it's kind of to me, it's almost more like a little bit of a boot camp for the future. Like, I don't necessarily expect that you will always cook that much for every single meal and all that stuff, but there is quite a bit in it. So I sometimes get people who are like, this is just way too much for me. So was it more cooking than you would have normally done in the past? And how, like, why are you okay with it? Like, why was it okay for you to like make those adjustments if you needed to do it or what?
Well, one, it all tastes good. It was nice to cook with different stuff. It was more work.
Yeah.
You know, we've been like, we use air fryers. So, you know, we'd air fry chicken or hamburgers and asparagus. And over time, it gets sickening too. It was actually like,
food and fun. And like, we get to eat a variety of food. It's not just chicken and broccoli or chicken and asparagus or lean beef and, you know.
And you go from P2 to this and you're like, oh my God, it's like you landed on a cruise ship in a buffet. I mean, expectation, and I don't mean this, don't tell how this is going to sound. Coming off of P2, it doesn't take a lot to be exciting when it comes to food. You know?
So true. Yep. I know. I actually kind of think that like I'm a little bit like I have an advantage. That's like the secret advantage. I'm like, I don't know if the food's really that good. I think it's just like you said, because we've been starved with hardly anything. And then you come to this and then like anything you would eat would be like amazing. So I think that is kind of a secret advantage I have.
And we have carrots. I'm like, can you taste the sweetness in the carrots? And it was like, we're a bunch of sickos. Like,
but I think it reset our palates.
It did, which was nice.
And I think the other thing that, and you talked about it, that made the cooking easier was the batch cooking.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, we cooked a lot of stuff when we cooked it and then we had it. So that was, I think that made it easier.
I would say we would try to do 2-3 days at a time-ish make sure our breakfasts and lunches and snacks were good. And then like, I would just cook a dinner. So like, then if we did dinner together, we would make enough for the next couple of days.
Yes.
You know, and on the days where we had more time, let's say we would do a little bit more. It was more work and took more planning, but it was also fun because you're not going out to restaurants. You can't really date night. You don't want to go to the movies because you don't want to have popcorn. So you have to have something to do.
Yeah. So it makes a little more of an experience maybe.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And it's funny because in our business is also like fitness and health. And
yeah,
we talk to people about this and we really have turned, we turned our going out date night dinner to dining in date night cooking.
Yeah.
You know, and watch TV.
We still drink wine, but like, that's then the only, I hate to say bad thing, but yeah, so we share a bottle of wine, but then our food is, I'm like, oh, do you want this cookbook? You want Raizel? Like, who do we want to look at for today?
Yeah, that's awesome.
We didn't do wine in P3 though.
We did not actually. And we really like to drink wine. So, but we really behaved ourselves and we did not add anything back into our diets until the week you told us to. So we didn't do dairy until that week. I'm allergic to nuts, but he didn't do almonds until that week.
Gotcha.
Same thing with like carbs or whatever. We did listen.
Yeah, we just,
that way.
That's cool. I do feel like, I think it's just partly because those food groups are so calorie dense and then they do tend to be food groups that people are intolerant to. So it's kind of just like, it's just like it's just a way to make it safe. You know, that you will most likely not have trouble stabilizing. That's part of why I did that, you know, because for those two reasons, you know, and then because some people can add them back in or in small amounts or as your calories get higher, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, and we noticed too, like for dairy, he can have it, but he gets really congested. Mm. So we know that that's a big one. Oh, sorry. I have finally admitted that like eggs are a problem. Like I can maybe eat them every 4 or 5 days, like one. But I mean, it did show like food sensitivities and stuff too, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
I liked your thought process, because you said here's a set amount and it's lower than what a lot of people would need. So if you're still hungry, you get to add more. So sometimes, I mean, we had like a plate full of food and I mean, you would have think, I don't know, it was 1,000 calories and it's what, 400 or something.
Yeah.
That's the one tool I think I really learned from your P3 was how to, you know, I had never had cauliflower rice before. And then I found broccoli, like cabbage, coleslaw-y stuff, not coleslaw, but like things to add volume that don't cost very many calories. And it's more satisfying.
I'm so glad to hear that. I'm the same way where I like the volume. I do kind of live to eat in a way. Oh, you know, like people say you should only like eat to live, but I'm like, well, I don't know. I really like food.
We do.
We still have your peanut butter smoothie after dinner almost every day. Sometimes we do the Oreo one. Those were our favorites. We lived off the lemon ones in P2. Those were really good.
Yeah.
And I will say the one thing we learned when we went back to working out and we needed a little more calories and protein, we just added protein powder to your shakes. Sometimes we still do that for smoothies.
Sometimes that really helps the texture too. Don't you think of the smoothies? Yeah.
It's thicker. Yes. And we've watched your video, your cooking ones about the ice, because we have a ninja and we're like, we're not doing enough ice.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we just did.
Yeah. And I think we made the whole thing fun.
Good. As fun as you can, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I mean, everyone else thought we were, you know, crazy. But that was okay. But they didn't lose 20 pounds and 11% body fat in 3 months.
I know, right? Oh, that's great.
And that was the cool thing, too, because if you look through my fitness bell, that's where I put in all my data, like track my fitness and my weight.
Yeah.
When I finished the lowest injection weight, I kind of was plateauing, remember? Mm-hmm. It was like 137. I'm like, Jesus, I just want to get to 135. So we stopped the injections, we transitioned, we did exactly what you said, and we actually started upping the calories a little bit by the end of day 2, day 3, so we didn't eat our arms off. I had my period ended, we started P3, I'm not kidding you, I stair-stepped down. It was like 136, 135, 134. Awesome. It was like, I freaking love this program. I mean,
it was funny. I remember the one time you were on there, your eyes were closed. And I think it was like when you hit like 133 or 132 or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I look and I'm like, oh shit. And you're like, what, is it bad? I'm like, no, look. And you're like, ah, it was like as low as it's been in
years.
That is awesome. So with that, then it sounds like you were actually losing in P3 with the program. Yeah. Did you have to do any, either of you have to do any steak days while you were on it or no?
Not even close.
Yeah, not.
Because my new window is like 131 to 133. Sometimes like right at the top, maybe 134, it touches like during my period or whatever. Yeah. But normal non-hormonal days, high 131s, 132-ish, somewhere in there. Awesome. I mean, and yeah. I ended at 137. So
yeah,
that is great.
Like 192 to 194.
Awesome.
So, well exceeded anything we would have thought. And I wanted to tell you too, because we did this and we did play with the macro thing a little bit and we did add more calories to your program, but we just added more, like if it was week two, let's say, because we were going back to CrossFit gently because we didn't want to over glycogen our weight and all that, like you talked about. You know, we just added more, like, let's say it was chicken for dinner, instead of 6 ounces, maybe we had 8 ounces, or we would have another half a serving of cauliflower rice. We didn't add peanut butter in, we added just bigger servings.
Yeah, usually protein was typically what we would do.
Gotcha. And I'm so glad you bring that up. Yeah, because that is a really great strategy. And I did want to mention that too, because for anyone who does want to go into P3 and start exercising right away, or even it just depends too, like she mentioned, I did design the program so that the calories go up, but that they're on the low end, so that kind of, because you know, this is a program for many people, right? This isn't like a one-on-one, so I wanted to make sure that, you know, anyone who does it most likely is going to succeed, because as you mentioned, Cassandra, it is very easy to add. But mentally, it's not fun when someone says, well, eat less than what you're shown, you know, right? Like no one wants to hear that. So and I love, because when you exercise, you very well may need to increase the calories. And you guys actually ended up increasing quite a bit and up to a point. I kind of like, Cassandra, if you could touch on this, just like where you're at with how many calories you eat, just because so many women get stuck, you know, if you're like this and you're listening, ladies, you might feel stuck within a certain calorie range of like, say, 1,000 calories or 1,200 calories, and feel like literally every time I eat more than that, I gain weight. And I totally 100% believe you. But I also have seen that you can heal your body and make it possible to eat more again without gaining weight. And there's a process there. But yeah, tell me what you've been able to achieve yourself.
Well, and I would say like probably within the first week, we were already up to 1500 calories on P3, which we couldn't believe.
And you guys are, you're pretty active people, it sounds like, right?
We were, but he actually started working out before me because I had read so much of your website and stuff. I was very slow and gingerly to get back into working out because of my history. Yes. If that scale went ballooning up, I know I would freak out. Yes. So I was a little more measured in my thing, I have on rest days, I eat right now, I eat about 2000 calories a day and I'm 5'6" on a good day. CrossFit, like we went for a bike ride, a road bike this morning. I would say 2200. And sometimes it's 23, 24, just depending, you know, you kind of follow the hunger too.
Yes.
And he noticed this too, through the whole program. And currently, if we don't eat enough, the scale's higher the next day.
Yeah.
Like for some reason, if you're busy or you're not as hungry one day and I only come in at 1800 calories, the scale will be higher.
I know it's almost, I don't know the exact cause either, but it almost seems like, when you under eat that it causes like inflammation or swelling or something, don't you think?
But it's like almost everything.
I've actually had the same experience with, I don't actually fast anymore really, but I used to do fasting here and there, but I would find that I had to fast. I mean, I had to make sure I slept a full night's sleep along with fasting, or I would gain weight. Like if I stayed up late working till 2 a.m. that night after fasting all day, I would gain weight and I would feel not good. Like it's your body, it's like you have to combine all the right stuff for it to work out, or like it rebels, you know?
Well, and I think too, like for us, I looked at P2 and the start of P3 as a true rest and recovery. And even if you're not an athlete or you really don't like to work out, you can't tell me at some point in your life, mentally, physically, you don't need a break. So to really allow yourself time to sleep, to maybe do like one of those float tanks therapy, you know, all that kind of stuff that doesn't involve physical exercise, but is good for you. I think that's a great opportunity during this time,
yeah,
just to really heal everything up. Because by the middle part of P3, man, we were ready to go.
Yeah, just a real nice reset.
Yeah.
Like everything from like a mental reset to your palate to just all of it.
I still feel like I got a lot of the inflammation. You know how sometimes you just feel swollen all the time?
Yeah.
That's how I was feeling before. And after all this, and it's really healthy food too, so that helps, and a bunch of water. But I mean, it really did feel like it just kind of flushed the system.
That's awesome.
On a bunch of different levels. So, oh, so and I know he's over 2,500, 2,600 calories, maybe more. I don't know. He doesn't track it as much, but
that's great. Yeah, no, I'm just so glad to hear that. Okay. There is a woman eating 2,000 calories a day. You're 5'6", you're small. You weigh 100 and what did you say? 133 pounds or so.
Yeah.
And that she can eat that much. And actually I'm similar to you. I don't track very much anymore, but I have at different times just so I would know. And I'm 5'1", I'm 124 pounds, and I do eat about 2,000 calories a day. But like you said, learning to follow the hunger cues too, you know, because there's days where I'm just really not as hungry and I'll get full like sooner on a meal that I eat almost every day. And I'm like, oh, so it's kind of like also annoying to stop when you realize, oh, my body just doesn't need this today. And then other days I'll be hungry much earlier in the day. And I'll be like, oh, but I don't usually eat until this time, but I'm starving. And so I've learned to like just listen to that cue. Like, hey, your body's telling you you're hungry. So who cares if it's 9 o'clock instead of 12? Go eat something. Yeah. You know,
absolutely. I do the same thing with water. Like my goal is to drink a half a gallon a day, which is what, 70 ounces or something, which is I think more of a reasonable amount of water. But there's some days where it's a struggle to get that half in, and there's other days where I feel like I could drink 6 gallons of water. So like I try not to even force that. You need to listen.
That's a smart idea,
you know. And there's times too, like the heavy workout days, I'm not hungry on those days. Would come back to me in a day or two, and
And your body's trying to recover, right? So it's like it needs that fuel to turn it into muscle and stuff.
Absolutely. And that's then awesome. Before I forget, though, because I have my little scale, my thing here.
Yeah.
When we started, I want to tell you that actually in P3, I lost 3% body fat just in P3 in a month. So on April 11th. Through Memorial Day, that was 3% body fat. Like 3%.
That is amazing.
So, and you can see in our pictures when we ended P2, we were a lot thinner.
Yeah.
But when we look at our pictures now, there's a lot more tightening and toning that went on, which is
awesome.
Cool.
So I love that you shared that, because to be honest, so I can't promise this, ladies, if you do P3 to life, you know, the goal, kind of what I can't promise anything really about anything, right? All you can do is try it. But for a lot of people, the goal is just to maintain what they've lost. However, I do have a good percentage. I'd probably say even maybe 50% or more of the women who do P3 to life actually do end up losing additional weight. But I can't promise it, but that it's very common. I do get that told to me by email and in these interviews all the time. And that's really cool, even just realizing that you increased your calories as you got more active, especially, and that still happened for you.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you got to think, if I went from 500 calories a day up to 2000 and I lost 3% body fat in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty incredible if you think about it. And the amount of just toning and tightening. I mean, the body composition for both of us has changed dramatically since P2.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's just like the ingredients, as you mentioned, that we're using just like whole foods, real ingredients. So it's like the calories are just made up of stuff that your body uses well, you know.
And if you think about it, you're eating cabbage and chicken and beef and all this stuff. It's actually hard to gain weight. It's just real food, you know. There's not a lot of, like, you know, there's no fat, there's no trans fat, you're not eating grease. I mean, where would you actually put fat on from? Like, it doesn't actually make any sense. It's actually real, like, fuel for you.
Yeah, so it is hard to overeat on the program because of the way the macronutrients are. Like you said, with all the, I do have a focus on lean protein and vegetables because they have a lot of volume for lower calories. So it's like, we can all definitely gain weight on anything if the calories end up going above what our body needs to maintain, right? Like at some point, yes, if you ate 4,000 calories of chicken breast and cabbage, probably, I guess you could, but like the point is you'll never do that because you would be so full, you would explode. So like you're gonna naturally stop eating before then. So my goal was that you will get pleasantly full on the right amount of calories for you so that you just you will stop and then you'll either lose or maintain, you know?
Well, and you got, and two, like eating real food like that, like cabbage or all the vegetables, it's a lot of chewing, which seems really stupid to say, but it's, I remember we were eating one dinner. I'm like, Jesus, I'm getting tired. Like
dinner. Warning, this might be a mouth workout.
Yes, exactly. You know, compared to, and I like them too, but like if you eat Cheetos or something that doesn't require a lot, you can eat more of it. But I mean, if you're going to eat a gigantic plate of, say, cabbage, I mean, it
requires effort.
It does require
effort. This is good for our jaw health, everybody. I've actually read some books, like just different dental type books. Yeah. And they talk about how the modern diet isn't designed for, you know, for teeth and jaw health because, yeah, we were actually supposed to actually really have to clench down to chew. But like you said, with chips and, you know, Cheetos and stuff, we don't have to do that anymore.
It's all soft. Yeah. Well, and it also stimulates your digestion too, which is supposed to then get your body ready. And I mean, it does all kinds of good stuff. So no.
Yeah. So I'm curious now, just because I always like to find out what people's lifestyle is like, as far as how busy they are with work or whatnot. So knowing that, like, is this realistic for someone else to fit into their life if they work full time, you know? So what do you guys do? Like, how many hours a week do you work, or when do you fit in the cooking? You might've mentioned it, but maybe we can cover it here.
You want to go first?
Well, we're self-employed. So our schedule's somewhat flexible and
sometimes,
and sometimes it's horrific. I think you can if you want to do it. It's like anything else. If you really want to get the results, you'll figure out how to get it done. Because we can figure, you know, we may not be able to cook for an hour or spend an hour cooking, but we can get in the car, drive 20 minutes to our favorite restaurant, put our name on a list, wait for 20 minutes to sit down, have a cocktail. So, I mean, we can do that.
Or sit on Instagram for an hour.
Or cook. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that's really helpful for us, because we have some friends who, as a couple, they don't.
We have a few examples of this.
They don't do as well supporting each other. So, like, for example, if it's a day that she's going to be working late and I don't happen to be at the studio late, or she's also a chiropractor, if she's working it, Wednesday's her chiropractic day where she works very late. So I know I cook every Wednesday. And I mean, I cook more than that, but no matter what, I'll cook every Wednesday. We had a few days where I was in the studio covering for somebody. So our day started like working out at 6 a.m. and I finished at work about 7:30, and I came home and, you know, she had made dinner and did all the stuff. So I think that part makes it easier. If you have it's like anything, if you have a support system, if people are working together, it does make it easier.
Yes.
Like some of our friends, and I don't know, so this would make it harder. We don't have this problem, but like, their husbands don't want to even remotely eat healthy. So they make their own food, then they make them dinner too. So I would think that that would make life a little harder, but we have teenagers too. So I mean, they just shut up and eat it.
And we can get kids cooking, guys. So if your husband's not helping out, like, hopefully you still have some jurisdiction over your kids. So my son is 11. He now cooks dinner once a week, one night a week. I have an Instant Pot recipe book, and I have him pick out the recipe in advance. We put it on the grocery list for that week, and he cooks every Tuesday evening. And you know what? It's been a huge load off. Like, you know, we try to pick stuff that he likes, wants to cook. And I know maybe with P3 to life, it might not always be like something that seems nice, but like, you know, just we can think outside the box, I think, you know.
Like, his son would come down and I'd have him chop up, like when we finally got to eating peppers or different vegetables, like I would have him chop it up for us.
Nice.
But I think if you make it a family affair, that will make your life a lot easier. But I mean, we're super busy. I think we got all the same crap that everybody else has, but it was important to us. And I did not want to have a steak day or an apple day. I was like adamant.
Yes.
So I was like, we're going to figure this out, because I'm not eating one steak or 6 apples a day.
Yeah.
Not that we have anything against steak.
No,
yeah. You just don't want to eat only steak.
I think that was it. I think it is that way with anything. You do have to decide that I'm going to do this.
Yes.
And I'm going to do it for this period of time, regardless. And then for us, it's migrated, I think, just to how we cook now.
It broke a lot of my bad habits because I'm lazy. So I would just have like low carb tortillas hanging around, which are fine, but I'd always put cheese and some chicken in them. But it was getting boring. And I think that doesn't help your diet either. So you truly expanded both our palate, new things that we can try, and it becomes easier. Like the more you do it, like this peanut butter smoothie thing, we can make that without the recipe. Like,
yeah. I don't know. Right. Yeah. And then it's literally like 3 minutes, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Like I'll get the swerve and the chocolate pot and the peanut PB2. I mean, we now have all the ingredients on hand, which I think is helpful too. I mean, in the beginning, you do have to get all the stevia and the swerve and this and that, but once you get it, then you have it. So all this stuff then becomes so much simpler across the board.
Awesome.
That's so good.
Does
that answer your question?
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned the smoothies a few times. Like, I got really into those, but they are, sometimes they take a little while to get the hang of them. And it sounds like you also figured that out. Yeah. Like, oh, we need more ice and all that. But just to reiterate, like, do you feel like the dessert, these are dessert smoothies, guys, and they're kind of meant to be ice cream. Like, do you feel like they help a lot with just continuing to eat healthy and not gaining in the long run?
We have not had processed sugar since our loading weekend. And I think those things are.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we don't even crave sugar anymore, which I love sugar. And I know you've talked about sugar because we watched all your videos. I'm all about cookies and ice cream. That was always our go-to after dinner. So no.
So it's like a good enough replacement for you guys.
It has been, yeah. Awesome. Well, and if you truly follow P2 and you clean out your palate and then you just move to that, they taste really good.
Yeah.
Like I remember when we did the banana one for the first time, he was like, oh my God, did you taste the banana? I'm like, I know. So we really like the banana one too, but the peanut butter. Well, yeah.
And I think for us, like, that's the one thing I think of anything, we've been very, like, the going back to process, like the sugar thing.
Yeah.
That is
like, if you're not craving it, I would recommend don't even open that door again. Like we went to a wedding and we did have their catered food, which was like Mexican food. It was good. We were worried about the scale and the salt, but we were fine. But actually we skipped the cake, which we usually love cake, but I haven't tasted cake in months. So it was kind of like, I don't even want to open that, like that box, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I don't need it. So why? Yeah.
And in fact, we're going to have a party here for graduation and birthdays and kids
in a couple weeks.
So we're gonna have all their stuff, but we're gonna make our own dessert,
like our own little protein cake or something.
Yeah, our own little whatever it is, so that we can still enjoy and be good hosts, but it'll be our little thing. We went to, was it Mother's Day or that was a family dinner, and we took our own, one of your desserts, we took it with us.
I don't care if people think we're weird.
I know
in the long run you just realize, like, living for what other people think of you or all that, it just ends up being a huge waste, you know. It's just, you need to do what's good for you and your body.
You really start,
you have to live with the consequences, right? Like, you have to live with it. So,
and I've even noticed too, which sounds crazy, like, so I'm 34, which I know is not old by any means, but, and we live in cold weather climates, I was actually less achy at the end of winter, and I think it was from less inflammatory foods. And I hate to say that, but like, your joints, everything just feels better. My skin's a lot clearer.
Nice.
Well, you know?
And it's funny, we talk about it a lot. Because it's weird, because we don't want to be like the fit police people and all that, even though that's the space that we're into from a career standpoint. Yeah. But we feel amazing. It's like, awesome. I feel so much better all the time. Look better, feel better, better energy. It's just...
I mean, we have breakfast, lunch, dinner, we have snacks, we have after dinner smoothies. I mean, it doesn't feel deprived. I'm probably eating more now than I was when I weighed 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's awesome. Better food. So. That's awesome. May I ask you? Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I just said we can't say enough good things about your stuff. So. Oh,
thank you, guys. Thank you. I was wondering, maybe just like one or two more questions. I was wondering if, so I have the coaching section on the site.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've actually watched some of those videos.
I'm trying to remember now. It was back.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to remember anything. All I want to have was your opinion on, like if you felt like it was valuable for you, like in any way?
Yeah, so we watched all of that. I liked your lady on alcohol. I feel like she was she British? She had an accent.
I can't remember, yeah.
You had the one lady on there about going out to restaurants and how like even chicken's got gluten in it. So like I learned some interesting things too. You had good mindset stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, I remember all that. We watched.
You watched ones with the dudes.
Well, those were the interviews. Oh, this is a different.
Oh, and interviews too. Yeah, it's just whatever. Like sometimes I guess I feel like we think we can just totally do stuff on our own, but we like downplay that, like the emotional psychological part, you know what I mean? For long-term maintenance that like you guys obviously are making a mental shift for the long-term, you know, and that's just, to me, it's a big part of actually making a change long-term, you know?
Absolutely. No, you had good mindset stuff. And I think the thing that also we talk about this is like your identity. You then have to look at yourself. Like, I don't know, let's say you have been heavier your whole life or for a good portion of it. Once you actually lose weight, then you actually have to see yourself then as a smaller person. Right. You know, like when I had eating disorders, I would look in the mirror and I was small, but I didn't see a small person. Yeah. I saw somebody who was heavier. But body dysmorphia can run on, you know, a variety of levels. So, and I think externally, internally, making those shifts and those identity changes. And you know what? I don't care if my parents think I'm crazy or our friends, because we take our food with us, or we don't want to have cake at a wedding because it's our life, like you said, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, to go back to like the coaching side of it, I think that's a huge part. I think that if you don't, you know, I have a friend and he says, we don't really need to be taught new stuff. We need to be reminded. And I think the coaching reminds you. And especially if you start to get, like we would watch stuff at just to stay
mentally in the game,
yeah.
To stay engaged. I mean, the best athletes in the world have coaches.
Yeah.
You know,
I listen to podcasts all the time, like just different ones. Yeah. How to be happier, how to not worry about being perfect, how to like all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, some of them are reoccurring themes, but just said in different ways. But we do need those reminders, and it does help reset us, because our old things come back to haunt us sometimes. And, you know,
yeah. And we're bombarded by negativity all the time. And I don't think the last year and a half has helped anybody in any stretch. Yeah. So, I mean, I think you do have to, just like you have to eat and fuel yourself up physically, I think you have to do the same thing mentally and emotionally. Yeah. You know, you have to purposely seek out good things. So,
yeah.
And I do recommend your HCD Chico website too. That thing's really good. Yeah. I mean, I read the whole thing and I would always look like, what about this? What about this? I looked at all your stuff. So, no, it is.
Thank you. Very it's kind much. Of a crazy diet. So there are a lot of crazy questions that can come up, you know?
Yeah. But if you're someone who likes that stuff, or you're a nerd, or you like to really hone in on things, it's a great diet to do that.
Yeah.
And like you had that one article up there from Dr. Simeon, which was hilarious, about having fits of despair when people are up a little bit, and what it all actually means. You can learn a lot too, not just about HCG, but just about how kind of the human body works.
Right. Yeah. That's true. That's awesome. Thank you guys so much for talking with me today.
Well, thanks for having us. Thanks for your awesome program.
Oh, yeah. No, I really appreciate it. It's just so neat that you guys were able to follow it so closely, and also to be able to do it together. You know, that's awesome.
Absolutely. And I will say, we're just going to like keep these out, or we're just going to rotate through. And I like just having recipes to go through, because I feel like then you have less room for getting silly again.
That's true. Yeah. And sometimes decisions can be hard, you know, like sometimes I'll like scroll on Pinterest trying to find something, but I'll get like overwhelmed. But like here, you do have a selection, but you know, they're all safe and that they're all already pre-vetted. Like, you know, that any of them are fine and you don't have to worry or try to, you know, sub too many things or, you know.
Exactly. So no, we're just going to keep eating your stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for being with me today. And also, so you're a chiropractor, Cassandra.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Did you want to share where you're located and what your website is or the name of your clinic?
Oh, it's wellnesscornertoledo.com. So I'm a chiropractor. I went to school in Iowa and I've been on a school now for 10, 12 years or so. So I do low force instrument adjusting and some traditional, you know, cracking and popping and, you know, just like to reinforce healthy habits, behavior, you know, talking about food, nutrition, you know, all kinds of good stuff, staying active.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we'll have a link to her website in the show notes. And also, if you're in Ohio, you could go see Cassandra.
Awesome.
Cool. We love our chiropractor where we are. Yeah, it's helped a lot of things for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. So
yeah. I totally believe in it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Rizal. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.